You would take your scriptures and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel 23, and this evening we'll be reading the entire chapter. 1 Samuel 23. This is the word of our God. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plundering the threshing floors." So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah." But David's men said to him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines?" And David inquired of the Lord once more, and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, and he led away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. Thus David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it came about when Abiathar the son of Ahimelech fled to David at Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. When it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah, Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand, for he shut himself in by entering a city with double gates and bars." So Saul summoned all the people for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him, so he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." And David said, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." And David said, "Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will surrender you." And David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. When it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up pursuit. David stayed in the wilderness in the strongholds and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life while David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Thus he said to him, "Do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul, my father, will not find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you, and Saul, my father, knows that also." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed at Horesh while Jonathan went to his house. Then Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in the strongholds of Horesh, and on the hill of Hakalah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now then, O king, come down according to all your desire of your soul to do so, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand." Saul said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go now, make more sure, and investigate. See his place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there. For I am told that he is very cunning. So look and learn about all the hiding places where he hides himself, and return to me with certainty. And I will go with you, and if he is in the land, I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah." And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon and the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David, and he came down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard it, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were surrounding David and his men to seize them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land." So Saul returned from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines. Therefore they called that place the Rock of Escape. David went up from there and stayed in the strongholds of En-Gedi. And that is God's word to us. And so David is on the run from Saul. It seems everywhere he turns, Saul's there trying to hunt him down and put him to death. But Saul has not prospered yet. and he will not prosper. And this chapter shows us God's provision for David. The first provision from the Lord to David is divine access. You see that in the first 13 verses. David receives information from the Philistines that they're attacking a city, Keilah. And David is willing to go, and so he inquires of the Lord, asks him if he should go up and destroy the Philistines. And the Lord responds that he should. The men with David feared going up. They viewed it as worse than even Saul hunting David himself. And so they fear, and so David prays again. Yahweh responds, you need to go up and defeat the Philistines. So David and the men go up and deliver the city. And then we have a note of information in verse 6. How was it that David could ask direction from Yahweh and get a very direct answer from the Lord, which he has not had in the past? It's because verse 6 says, it gives us the information, when Abiathar came down, remember the last chapter when all the priests were slaughtered in the last chapter and only he was the one remaining, the one priest remaining, he brought with him, it says, the linen ephod. And Abiathar went to the Lord for David and received the word from the Lord, the Lord's answer for David. And so Abiathar is the priest, the mediator, who offers up prayers to God. He's the priest. And so we see right in the middle of David delivering the city of Keilah and David being delivered from Saul, who's going to attack him at Keilah, we see this hinge right in the middle of those two accounts of Abiathar and the linen ephod. The ability to pray to the Lord and receive a direct response from Him. And we may respond and ask, but I don't get that kind of direct guidance from Yahweh myself. I don't pray to the Lord and hear a voice from the Lord and hear a very direct answer, you need to do this. And that's true, none of us receive that. But then again, we're not a chosen king who is going to be foreshadowing Jesus Christ. And so the fortunes of God's kingdom rest far more on David's preservation at that time, in 1 Samuel during that time, than they ever will for us, or any of us. However, the principle, there is no difference between this elect king, David, and any of us. Now, here is access to God for David through an appointed priest, and do we not all enjoy that same access, but perhaps even through a greater mediator than Abiathar, through Jesus? Don't we have Hebrews 4, which tells us since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so the first provision is divine access. We have that divine access through Jesus and through His blood. The second provision is divine encouragement. We see that though Saul is sought David daily, Yahweh didn't give him into his hand, verse 14. And Jonathan could find David, verse 16, and encourage David in the Lord. Jonathan knew that David was to be king, and he was going to be king. So you see the faith of Jonathan and what has been taking place and the promises. And so he stuck on those promises from the Lord. And so Saul couldn't find David, but David can't be put to death. And Jonathan knows this because he will be king. And so Jonathan is used by the Lord to remind David of the promises. And we think of this encouragement, we might say Jonathan's presence would have been encouraging. It would have been. But personal presence doesn't have that abiding encouragement that God's faithful word does. Well, the better encouragement from God comes from His word. In fact, the best encouragement comes from His word. What about the greater than Jonathan? Jesus. Paul describes Him in 2 Timothy. At my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. That might be what David feels. Paul says, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. And so he gave him the word to proclaim to Paul. And so here with David, Jonathan brings that word of the promises to David. And so he is stood, the Lord is standing by him and he's strengthened by him. So we have divine access, divine encouragement, finally, divine providence. The final words of the chapter provide a real nail biter. If you read the description, it says that Saul's on one side of the mountain, David's on the other side of the mountain, and Saul is surrounding him. We could say that this place is about to be called the Rock of Death, David's death. But then God's providence is shown. Yahweh puts the Philistines to work, his enemies. He puts them to work to attack the land of Israel. And so word comes to Saul moments before David is put to death. He's in the grave. He's actually delivered because Yahweh led Saul right away to fight the raiders in the land. So, beloved, surely God is our help. The Lord is the one who sustains us. He is the provider of access to Him. He provides encouragement to us, and the providence is always for us and not against us. That's always for our good. And so we see God's provision here in this chapter in a few different ways. Let's pray now. Our Father, we do praise You that You are the God who provides, the God who watches over Your people, the God who provides a mediator in Jesus Christ so we can come boldly to the throne of grace, even now, because of Your Son, by the strength of the Spirit. And Father, we praise You that You also have given us encouragement, that we think of perhaps one of the more famous Psalms, Psalm 23, that even though we might be in the valley of the shadow of death, there You are with us. And when Paul was in before those leaders and when he was being charged, we know that You stood by him even though everyone else deserted him. And so, Father, we praise You that You are always with us by Your Spirit and that You encourage us with the Word and the promises. We pray that You would continue to do that this day and every day until we come before Your throne for all eternity and we are with Jesus. And, Father, we do praise You for Your providence, that even when things seem so on the brink, the nail-biter situations, we think in our lives where a decision has to be made or something has to happen so that something else occurs and that has to occur, and You bring it down to the final minutes of when it needs to happen, and then You do it, and You always do. We thank You for providing for our needs, and You provide Your providence for us to see in the Scriptures and in our lives. And You protect us and bring us to Your throne. So thank You for Your providence and Your encouragement and this access we have now in Christ. Father, we also ask, as we're seeking and requesting our needs, we do, it is apparent to us at least, that we need rain. We need cooler weather for crops, for that food prices would not be increased. There may be some time left before the harvest, before those crops stop growing. And so we pray that You would bring rain and bring an abundant rain, but not a flood. Father, we might be very particular in our request, and yet we pray that You would answer according to Your will. Lord, pray that You would spare us above all these things, and You would bring us unto Yourself. Cause us to come to You in prayer and repent of our sins. And Lord, which we do now, we turn from our sins. Cause us to see our sins that we might do so. And cause us to see Jesus, as we're about to see in a few moments from John, more clearly than what we saw in this chapter in Samuel. And Father, we ask that You would heal Your people. You would heal Your people who are being tracked down by this sinful curse of a body which is going closer and closer to death each day. Pray that You would heal our bodies and do so unto glory and glorified bodies. Father, we ask that You would watch over us now as we go to Your Word, as we sing Your praises, as we continue in worship, because You are the God who answers our prayers and hears us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.